Oh, and we back at it. Krampus in full effect. We are in the gazebo? No, I guess is what this is called.
Yeah, we're out in the gazebo area.
Got the Louis Michon playing in, Michaud playing in the background.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I think that's Louis Michaud.
And we're sitting down with Mr. Zach Edwards.
What up, y'all?
Yo, nice to have you here, man.
Yeah, thank you for having me.
How you doing this afternoon?
Doing good, man. You know, getting ready to play a set, and I've already changed my entire set list, so.
Oh, word.
You know, I feel bad, but I think the guys are used to it by this.
They
by
just
now,
go with the flow?
Mm-hmm, definitely.
Nice.
So, who is sitting in with you today on your set?
We got he's regularly my guitar player, Jared Crenshaw, is going to play drums for us, and then Luke Vaillon is going to play bass. Amazing gospel chop bass player, really.
All right.
Yeah, gets heady, good stuff.
nice. Good stuff. May I ask, what kind of music you play exactly?
It's like soul blues, has some grunge elements. And, okay. I'm a 90s kid, so no matter what I try to play, it kind of has that 90s feel to it a little bit.
Oh, yeah, most definitely got a trade on that for sure. Uh-huh. You know, it tells a little bit about the style that you like to play.
Yeah, man.
And if the listeners ain't never heard Zach play, he brings some heavy soul that you wouldn't expect. It's like an old soul trapped inside. lead singer and lead guitarist, right?
Yeah, we go back and forth, rhythm and lead, definitely. Yeah.
Oh, awesome. I was probably going to follow up with that question. Get familiarized.
Yeah, man. It's going to be a good set today. We got some surprises at the end, too. So
all right.
Be fun.
When are you guys performing today?
4:00.
4:00.
4:00.
The Avon stage?
Avon stage if the weather.
Yeah, the weather.
Seems like it's going to hold out. It's going to be good.
Yeah, I checked the weather a while ago. It's talking about like 5, 6-ish when that big front coming in. So. Which is good for us because we getting some good sunshine, that good vitamin D.
You need it.
Yeah. If anybody out there is feeling a little groggy, go take your shoes off and go stand on some ground in the sun. Ground and get some of that vitamin D.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's good for the body. Let your feet touch the grass in about 30 minutes. It'll do anybody good.
I've seen a conspiracy where a dude said that one of the biggest injustices in the world has been the shoe manufacturer companies saying that we de-energize ourselves from the earth by wearing shoes all the time or some stuff like that.
And we're cutting off our pinkies, too. Our pinky toes. They're getting smaller.
Really?
Uh-huh.
Yeah, no. Yeah, is that a most thing? Of the balance comes from the pinky toe.
I thought it was the big toe was the balance.
I know that the pinky toe has shrunk over time, like evolution. It's gotten smaller. It's because of shoes.
Is shoes?
Yeah.
Shoes are changing the way our bodies grow. That's wild. I know that's off. We in the rabbit hole already, my bad.
That's an interesting fact for those listening, for sure.
So, but you're playing at 4. What is some of the upcoming things that you have for Zach Edwards and also Zach Edwards and the medicine?
Man, I got a baby coming in a month and a half, so I'm just trying to...
Oh, congratulations.
I did it. Went all the way.
You have now officially joined the Can't Pull Out crew.
Yeah,
congratulations. That's a great milestone.
Yeah, man.
How's that feel becoming a new parent, bringing life into the world?
It's scary, but I'm really excited. I prayed to God. I needed more discipline and I needed more love in my life. Yeah. And then a month later, Emily called me. I'm not gonna cry. She called me, told me she was pregnant. So, that's what I'm getting definitely. Yeah. And I don't know. It makes sense. That's the next step. I went from in a rush all the time. I got to get to the next show. I got to do the next thing. I'm not releasing any music. So now it's like my priorities are straight, and I'm excited to just be a good dad, man.
Yeah, it's always an incredible feeling whenever you're able to do it, mm-hmm. and then just wanting to be there, actually. You know, that's a big step in itself because, you know, it is tough out there for single parents that mm-hmm. have to pull the slack and wait. So shout out to all the single parents, and also shout out to all the parents who actively support their kids.
I always tell people that 90% of parenting is just being there. As long as you're being there and you're trying, that's all you really can do, because there's some stuff that no book and nobody in the world can tell you about parents. Absolutely. And that you just gotta you gotta walk down that road by yourself and learn it it the good old fashioned hard way.
That
is great though. And for the listeners out there, Zach and Emily came on y'all's first date, right? Mm-hmm. On the podcast way, way back with Terrence and Kobai.
Oh, yeah. First date.
Nice.
It's pretty cool.
See what the podcast done? It's Slick Side brought life into the world.
Yeah, don't take her to a movie. Take her to a podcast.
Showing the transformation in the steps along the way.
Yeah.
These milestones.
Yeah. We're about to release some new music, too.
Is that going to be on the streaming platforms?
All of them, yeah. My buddy Luke, the bass player, has recorded all our stuff like in-house with his vintage equipment. We're running it from the computer to a tape machine and mixing it on a tape machine and then back to the computer, so it has that old kind of feel, you know?
Yeah.
Because we were paying all this money to get this old vintage sound. And we're like, well, why don't we just record on vintage equipment instead of wasting our money, like, trying to make it sound old, you know?
So, yeah.
Is that going to be like album, EP, or?
EP, three songs. But I want to do some stuff with them for sure. And then we're going to release another batch of three shortly after that. We went on KRVS in Lafayette. It's like a really
nice
local
TV
radio station. And the takes were awesome. We played live. And so we're just going to mix those and release those as well.
I said TV, you said radio station. Didn't y'all do a live thing on TV recently?
We did. I'm going to say the name wrong. KADN Local News, I think.
Yeah.
Like Arcadia, maybe? Or you say
KADN, but I know it stands for something else, but I could be even saying that wrong. But we're doing like a Christmas thing on the news. On Christmas Day, you'll be able to watch us. We did like four or five songs and going there all the time. I think we're doing beignet competition, and we get to be the judges, the beignet judges. So.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I think I've ate beignets like maybe once in my entire existence of life.
I'm interested to even see what you can do with the beignet. Yeah. Yeah.
I guess it's like maybe the different techniques, you know, prepping wise.
Because I'm a Texas boy, so I just grew up eating donuts, hot dogs for breakfast, right?
You said that y'all going for a vintage style sound for your EP. So what vintage equipment are y'all playing on to produce that type of sound?
All the amps were like modeled 60s, 70s or vintage 60s, 70s amps. The microphones we used were all from the 60s, 70s. Just like try to not to implicate it, but just to get this stuff. And Luke's like all into that. He's a collector of many instruments and many, so he worked his magic for sure.
Oh, that's cool. Vintage. I never thought about that, going vintage style to get that, you know, that naturally organic sound going.
He actually recorded my vocals on one of the songs through a PA from the, like you would see in a middle school in like the 70s, 80s. And it just like pops up and it sounds, you know, just like someone's doing announcements.
Does the microphone have any like an effect on the amp, or is it a different sound?
It just sounds so old and tinny. And like, I mean, he had a couple different mics on my vocals, but that one is the one we use the most of because I don't know. You can't beat it. And he paid $60 for it, something like that, you know, cheap.
Oh, yeah. Someone probably didn't know what they had.
Mm-hmm, definitely not.
Yeah, we're recording on Samson mics. Make sure you check out Thurkle's podcast at 5000w.thurkle'spodcast.com on all major streaming platforms, Instagram, Facebook, TikTok. And we are Gumbo, Krampus, Toy Drive, Music Having podcast this afternoon in this beautiful weather. Zedwards, what's your favorite type of gumbo?
Done.
No particular.
I like, you know, Emily made one the other day that wasn't a super dark roux, and I surprisingly like that a little more than the super dark roux.
Yeah.
But I'm an old school chicken and sausage, you know.
Is that the kind y'all had?
Yeah.
You're participating in the cook-off?
Not
this year.
I'm thinking maybe next year, but not this year.
Oh, what team were you on last year for the listeners?
No team. I came, showed up.
How was, speaking, I was picking up trash Thursday.
Wonderful. You get so like wrapped up in it. I'm still picking up trash. I see if I see it on the ground, because I mean we did it for like an hour and a half. And yeah.
Where did you see? I went out Wednesday and we picked up by the River Bridge Road is what they called
bridge,
it.
The old River Bridge.
Where did y'all pick up trash
at? We did the dam, all the way to the dam from the hardwood.
Oh, okay. How was that? Find anything interesting?
Nothing too crazy. Lots of ketchup, man. Like, surprisingly.
Ketchup?
Do people just come down here and eat ketchup and that's it? Like, there's just little ketchup packets everywhere. But no, nothing too crazy. I heard some horror stories from the day before. I think you might have
been there. With the couch?
Was it the couch? I don't know about the
couch. The couch made Alex throw up. We pulled it out of the ditch, and it was one of those couches that had one of those old-school fold-out metal frame beds in it. And it had to have been there for months. It smelled like a dead body was in it. I really hope it wasn't a dead body in there, but
jeez.
I didn't want to open it up. But big shout-out to my newly found cousin, Alex.
Nice. Newly found?
Yeah. Me and Alex are... His grandfather and my grandfather were brothers, but they apparently all hated each other. So it like trickled down in the families and no one really talked. The siblings didn't talk. And we found out at Void that we're first cousins.
Wow.
Yeah.
And now the bridge is back, bro.
Yeah, I got a whole bunch of kids. Now my kids call Alex Uncle Alex and Uncle Aunt awesome. Emily and stuff. So the Void always finds a way to bring stuff to light that you would never even thought. So. Next year, y'all make sure y'all come out to Void 2024 and Krampus 2024.
Mm-hmm. I fell in love here, man. I fell in love right over there where the music's playing. Like
by the Avon stage?
Every morning we swing on the swings on the Avon stage and just talk. And so, like, it's just full circle being back here is really cool, man.
So, yeah. Oh, my bad, please.
Oh, no, you're good. Go ahead.
No, I was going to say... How was y'all? You stay in Lake Charles? Or no, Lafayette.
Lafayette now, yeah. Just moved out there in the St. Streets and loving it, man.
How is Lafayette this time of year?
It's beautiful. And just like the neighborhood we live in specifically is very friendly. Everybody talks to their neighbors and has gardens in their front yards and is like constantly doing something, inviting people over. So, but I'm grateful to be there.
Yeah.
Most definitely. I wanted to ask, like, in the regards to music, like, how long have you been playing collectively?
So my uncle came and gave me a guitar that I might play tonight. I'm not sure if I'm going to pull it out. But and I was probably 6 or 7, and maybe a little younger or older, I don't know. But he taught me a bunch of chords, and I didn't get it. But I kept playing from about then, but I didn't know what I was doing. About 12 is when I really picked it up and started taking. I took 2 lessons, and that's right when YouTube was getting big.
Right.
And all the stuff he taught me clicked, and I was like, I don't need to go to these. I can just do it on YouTube at my own pace. And so, long answer.
Oh, no, that's
I'd say fine, what? I mean. 10 years, 12 years almost. I'm getting up there. Yeah.
That's awesome.
What type of guitar is the first guitar that was given to you?
It's a 76 Japanese Strat. It's like Eddie Van Halen looking. Like I had the Floyd Rose, which you could do these dive bombs where you know.
Oh, yeah, whammy bar.
But it's so hard to change strings, and you can't do any other different tuning. So I ended up taking that out, and now it's like a Frankenstein guitar.
Yeah, it's like the locking keys, like doing something with the okay.
But I've taken that guitar apart and put it back together, and it's just all new parts. But I'm never going to sell it. I'm thinking about painting it because I'm never getting rid of that thing, but.
And what's some other guitars that you have in your collection?
Man, I only have one other guitar, and I just bought it. It's a D'Angelico, and it's kind of a pinkish-red color. You're going to see it later.
All right.
Because I needed kind of a different paintbrush. I felt like I had written all my songs on that other guitar that I could write for a while until I put it down. Because you know you're playing a good guitar when, you know, stuff just...
It naturally
you play something different too. You don't play the same thing you always go to. When you pick up a good guitar, you play
new things.
Exactly.
That you couldn't do on the basic guitar that you.
Yeah.
I would get that feel. I actually played a bit of guitar in the past, like play with bands and stuff. So, yeah, like Devin,
don't be modest, Cleve.
Yeah, Devin, he had a Hamer, I forget exactly which one, but it was the, I don't know if you've ever seen it, but it was like the yellow and white one. It's like,
yeah, yeah.
Just like the action, the bridge, everything. I fell in love with it. Mm-hmm. I can move more freely compared, like I play on Ibanez. So, you know, I was going to ask, do you have a dream set up if you're not content with what you have already? Because it sounds like you got some good equipment.
I would love a Marshall stack, of course. I got to play one through one the first time. It's like what Jimmy would play through, and I was almost scared because it was so loud. You know, I've never made that much noise in my life. But
oh, like with the 410s?
Oh, we turned it. He turned it up. My buddy turned it up all the way, you know, so you can feel it in your chest kind of stuff. Right, but I would love a Marshall stack. I need another hollow body, man. I had a hollow body, and it got stolen from me. So ever since then, been missing, but.
Yeah, the boys pawned one of my guitars in Leesville. So, yeah, my first guitar, yeah, it actually got stolen.
Dang.
You know, it's like I let my homie, like, I don't know if I should be saying this on
that. Go ahead, man.
Long story short, you know, let the homie borrow a guitar. He was like, oh, man, we moving out of town. And whenever they moved, they allegedly brought my guitar to the place they were moving to, and it just turned up missing.
You know, I hope someone is playing it, you know?
Right, yeah. I hope it's still being put to some use out there. It's a Ibanez Geo. Nice. Just like, basic startup guitar. But it was
your first one.
It was my first one, and it was my favorite one to play on. But
yeah, like, going to Steve's shop is really cool because I feel like every guitar has a different story because they're so... Vintage instruments, they got some ghost in them or something. Like, they got something to say, so they all are different.
You get a different vibe when you pick up an instrument. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And if y'all are out in the Oakdale way, make sure y'all stop by on Main Street. Vintage Guitars, ran and owned and operated by Mr. Steve Staples. And make sure y'all go buy one of his guitars. I've bought records from him. I go in there, and he has thousands of records.
Yeah, he's got some good pedals in there, too. I bought some strings. I talked with Steve for a little bit myself, and... you know, he's definitely got some stuff worth stopping by to look at, you know, vintage and, you know, up-to-date, modern.
And if you're a beginner or intermediate and you're looking for maybe a extra step or a helping hand, Steve does do lessons for bass guitar, regular guitar, acoustic. And, yeah, just big shout-out to Mr. Steve because that's cool to bring your business from New Orleans into Oakdale and try to push that because it's hard to be financially stable around here without working for somebody else. So being an entrepreneur is fucking cool.
Yeah, but he's got the goods. People will make that drive because he's got the good stuff.
Oh, yeah. I think he has an internet store too, but I don't know the actual website. I have to shout that out in a later episode. But yeah, he has some guitars in there. He has one signed by... it's not Stevie Wonder. Eric Clapton's is signed by Eric Clapton, of all people. I was like, God, it's like a $4,000 like white vintage guitar,
which is a steal in my opinion. If a $4,000, that's a pretty good, yeah, it's a pretty good number.
And so, Zach,
yes,
let's get a little weird. What is your favorite? Well, not favorite, but what's one of the things that, like, someone would say, oh, that's a conspiracy theory, but you believe heavily in?
Oh, let's go. Reptilians. I'll say it. I'm not afraid.
Oh, the...
Our Draconian overlords?
Yeah, yes. Lizard people. Thank you. Yeah. Thank you, man.
We know y'all are listening. We know y'all got y'all tapped in the Antarctic waiting for us.
Blinking sideways.
So you do believe that there's an reptilian race that has infiltrated multiple countries around the world and disguises themselves as humans for their expansion and eventual dominant takeover of the world?
Yeah, so there's like this study, and I'm going to butcher this probably.
Yeah.
But people kept having dreams like of the same reptilian figure throughout history over and over again. This could just be BS, man. But like that there's somewhere in our DNA that has like a real primal fear of the reptilian, which makes me wonder, you know, were they hanging out? Are they the aliens? Are they the people that came and, you know, planted their DNA in the humans to... Because there was a great flood. I definitely believe that.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's proof of the flood.
And there's an obvious like technological jump around, I don't know when, B.C. Yeah. I think we're aliens, man.
Hey, people believe that we possibly came from Mars, too, so maybe the lizard people were the vessels that came.
Yeah, maybe they come from Mars and landed on Earth before all of the continents broke apart.
Mm-hmm.
And just started planting in DNA, and then whenever the flood happened, some of them survived.
Well, they're starting to believe that, like, the polar axis of the Earth flips every, like, 7,000 years. So that makes it really believable for, like, the floods and shit.
Mm-hmm.
But that'd be crazy, though, like, every 7,000 years. And where are we on?
There's all these civilizations that talk about the floods. It's not just the Bible. It's like...
It's all over the world. It's written in stone.
Mm-hmm.
And it's there's a mountain in South Africa where I don't know the mountain's name off top, but it's like 2,000 feet above the fucking sea. I can't fucking think. But they have found like crustaceans and saltwater deposits and stuff on the side of this big ass fucking mountain. So, like, they're tying that together, saying that it was like a two fucking 200 foot wall tsunami or something, that when the polar axis flips, it causes fucking the world to stand still, then fucking a major flood every like 7,000 years.
So where are we at?
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
That's the whole question right now.
I still think my favorite one here recently is the stone ape theory.
I like that one a lot.
I really believe that could highly possibly happen.
The Bible talks about it. The Bible talks about manna rising from the ground, and the Moses led his people out the desert because they ate this manna, and it gave them dreams, and they had visions. And so that sounds like mushrooms. Manna's bread.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, mushrooms.
You've heard that one before, Cleve?
I have, and I was going to ask
you what's where they believe that primates started eating psychedelic mushrooms, which gave us the ability to think. You know,
I've seen that on, I want to say, not Netflix, but they had a documentary pop up about that.
Yeah.
And it was just a theory presented. I hadn't looked too much into it, but I'll go back later on, probably after the show, and look at it.
So how's playing in Rock-A-Bowl?
You know... Rock and Roll Lafayette is a good experience.
That's a big stage down there. Y'all pulling some major crowds down there.
It's nice, man, and they got probably the best sound around that area, in my opinion. Like,
so with the setup, do y'all play and it's like a stage area, and then people are still bowling, or
both sides?
Oh wow,
both sides.
Damn, I ain't never been down there. That sounds awesome, though.
Yeah, it's fun, man. Man, I don't know what I was going to say. Never mind.
No, it's all right. Cleve, you have anything?
I guess on the line of, on the line of conspiracies, soon the financial, the dollar's going to collapse.
Yeah.
I mean, at the rate that we're going,
invest in gold or get gold? Is that what you're saying?
It's basically like the gold theory.
I don't know. I think the crypto world's going to boom in the future. That's a sleeping giant.
Yeah, like crypto and natural resources are eventually going to wipe out the dollar. But I don't know if I could say that's a conspiracy because, we're seeing a bit of that in today's age where, some places they accept, the transition of currency to crypto.
It scares me, man, because if it's all not physical, it's all just in the cloud or something.
Yeah, it's all digital.
It can be just took away instantly.
Yeah, it can be wiped completely and started like a reboot almost.
Yeah, and I don't know. I feel like there's going to be a split in society with the crypto stuff where some people go backwards, where it's a lot more like grow your own food, do your own thing.
Yeah,
that's why I was saying the natural resources are going to be in effect, then it's better to invest in gold or silver. However you can maintain, said currency. But, a lot of that, it goes into, like, having your own knowledge of chemistry and how to test what it is you're actually investing in because, like, I don't know, just, like, financial advisory purposes. If we are to still live in a world with a current economy, I guess you can say, where currency is a flow of making transactions versus the olden ways of barter and trading, which I feel would be a more better way to go about things.
Hey, that's the good old school days. I've encouraged all the listeners out there to get in touch with what you have around you, because there's a lot of stuff that people don't understand that's like right in your backyard.
Oh,
that,
yeah.
You know, a whole bunch of nutritional value stuff.
My friend Annie lives 20 minutes from here, and she sells eggs all day, every day.
Annie Francois.
Yes. Yes.
Francois. Then, I'm sorry to you know, say Francisco early. I feel bad now.
That was me, too. We had to talk because we had Annie on the show and the call in. And we had that talk, like, to make sure we said her name right. Because that's one of the hardest things, like, to do interviews with different people. Like, obviously, Zach, it's easy for you. You can't butcher that. But when you look at, like, her last name, you're like, how do I say it right? And then you're like, and then you think about it, and you like, I was like, Francisco, that's just got to be it. And then, no, it's not, you know, but.
Yeah, and I made that dire mistake. So, again, apologies.
I did that on the radio the other day. I said, and Luke's one of my best friends, and I've been saying his name forever, but it's not Villion. That's how a Texan would say it.
Yeah.
It's Vayon.
Yeah, Vayon.
And I kept saying, don't say Villion, don't say Villion. And then they say, introduce your band. I say, Luke Vayon. Just like immediately. So, yeah, man.
Oh, that is a very, it happens, though. I don't know, like, when we went down to New Orleans, Annie brought it up. That was really, like, nerve-wracking. Do you still, like, even though you play on the stage all the time, is it still every time before it's, like, a little bit of butterflies to get it going?
Yeah, I get them right now. But you got to use them, you know? It's like turning the butterflies that would used to make you turn around and run away into, like, fuel to do the job. But I still get nervous on certain. And sometimes it's when I'm performing for less people. I'm more nervous because there's not as many.
It's not
faces
as many
to look at.
Yeah. So, you know, I'm really reading the one or two people that are in there. I'm like, oh, man, maybe I'm not doing too hot right now. Or, you know, whatever. But.
Yeah, I could definitely relate to that. You know, it's like Joe was saying, like on the set, New Orleans, you know, in a live setting. You know, I get the butterflies a lot. I'm, like, less talkative than what I am now. But, like, at Void, you know, at the lab, I'm going to say, like, I don't like calling it the shed because, I mean, we've had many memorable moments and stuff. And
yeah.
There's been some great things happening, you know, at the lab. But, you know, definitely can relate to the butterflies experience. I had shared a little experience earlier about, like, the wanting to say something and then not getting it out right away, and by the time the topic moves on, you're just kind of like stuck on like, well, okay, well, how do I follow this up? And I find myself hitting that block a lot. But you know, as a musician, I'm pretty sure, you know, you deal with that a little bit more with the faces that are watching your performance.
Yeah, and I think the best work you do is when you're not trying, right? When you're like relaxed and you know, like, because flow state, baby, you know, I don't.
Right. Once the flow gets going, then everything just kind of loosens up and it channels into that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
What's your favorite song that you're currently performing?
Man, probably the song called Icarus. Because it's like, you know, psych rock. It's got that dun 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 kind of feel.
It's like a build up almost.
The whole song, you know, it's just like get you. It's like trancey. But we made it real major instead of like a minor dark. It's Icarus. I say song's called Icarus, and it's about getting too high. Cause you know the story Icarus.
Icarus is the dude that built the wings to fly out the prison, but flew too close to the sun.
Oh yeah,
his wings melted off. Okay,
and then he fell into the sea and died. Right.
Yeah, yeah. You gotta, you know, be humble. That's what the song's about.
Yeah, I like that. That's.
Where do you grab most of your inspiration from? Whenever it comes to composing music, is it natural? Are you, you know, is it substance? Is it things going on around you?
Man, driving a lot of times is where I come up with the best lyrics for some reason. And it's not a good time to write them down, but it's great voice to, you know, text to talk or
yeah,
just put on the voice recorder and just say them. But I don't know. Sometimes I feel like my style's like a washing machine where I listen to so many different influences and then I'll take a piece of so many different things and put them all together. And I don't realize I'm doing that, but my buddies will pick apart my songs and be like, oh, that sounds like this right here. But then when we go to the chorus, it sounds like this song, but the drums sound like this song. You know, they're always, I'm not trying to do it, but it just works out that way. We're just, there's a quote. It's like, everything is stolen because there's no such thing as an original idea, I guess. You are your influences a little bit.
Yeah, it's a mixed masterpiece, I believe. You know, that's what all music is. It's just translated differently through the listener. It's like how you were saying, like, you know, your friends would pick apart a song and, like, try to find, you know, different pieces. In my opinion, I feel like that is original because you're doing something different that kind of, you know, reflects a grab on something that could inspire other people.
And for so long, I had my influences, and I was almost trying to be them, because I guess that's what you do when you're learning.
Yeah.
But it feels good to just drop the competition in your head and just be like, I am the best Zach.
Yeah.
You know, y'all are the best at what y'all do because y'all are doing it, you know. But.
Yeah, definitely agree. I agree with that.
Well, it wouldn't be recording on the fairgrounds if I didn't break a little sweat. But this is nice. Thank you for joining the show again.
Man,
this is Zach's fourth time on the show, I think, now. Yeah, through the years. Zach's been here since the very beginning.
Yeah, man, I'm proud of y'all for killing it and being consistent and just doing y'all's thing, man.
Oh, yeah, and definitely appreciate you again for being on the show with us. I think this may be my first or second time with you on the show, possibly. I think it's first, just to be on the safe side. But would you like to let the listeners know where they can reach you, find you on social?
On social media, Instagram, medicine.music, on Facebook, Zach Edwards and the Medicine. Lots of new music coming.
Yeah, make sure you listeners out there, stay tuned for Zach and the Medicine's EP coming out. They'll be able to stream and listen everywhere.
Two more questions and probably wrap it up. But it happened again. It's like I'm blanking out. I was going to ask you a question about the music, but up and coming projects. When do you feel that, I feel like I asked this on the other episode, but like, do you feel that you would experiment with other musics outside of your bass genre to gain?
That's my goal this year, is to start as many like side projects, because I feel like Zach Edwards and the Medicine, that thing is its own sound, and I've tried to write some songs that I'm like, this isn't for that project, but this year I really want to make more electronic music, because that's what I started on. Awesome. All those years ago, and I don't know, jam with different people. Just get out there more, man.
Nice, nice. And words of wisdom.
Words of wisdom. Go easy on yourself. You know, the only time I've ever truly changed something that I needed to change in my life is when I love myself through it instead of kicking myself through it like I've done so many times. So be easy on yourself.
All right.
I like that. I like that. I guess my words of wisdom, being humble. You know, sometimes like when we feel like a good streak of success, like we feel like we're at the top of the top and, you know, nothing bad can happen. But if something were to happen, we shouldn't let that be the end of it.
Yeah.
It's always best when, you know, you get knocked down, get back up, dust yourself off. It's okay to reflect, but, you know, don't be stagnant. Just being humble. You know, it's kind of words of wisdom there. Gator.
My words of wisdom is get out there and live your life. Live it to the fullest. You only get one, so why not just go out there and do the damn thing?
Amen, man.
Yeah. Well,
nice, nice.
Well, thank you for joining us, Zach. And I guess we're out.
Yeah. Thank y'all, man.
Yeah,
love you
guys. Appreciate you, man.